Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, and what a special show we've got lined up for you. It is the November meeting at Cheltenham, one of the highlights of the jump season, and we have once again got your Saturday sorted with selections across the whole weekend, including a detailed look at Saturday's bumper card at Cheltenham. It's headlined by the Paddy Power. We'll be looking at that first race we'll cover in detail, but we'll be looking as well at Saturday's card and also the Unibet Greatwood, a real cracker on Sunday as well. We'll be having best bets on Friday and Sunday as well. So loads of top quality tipping to look forward to for the weekend. It's not just Cheltenham on ITV. There's two good races from Weatherby as well. And we'll also be turning attention to those later in the show. I'm your host, James Stevens. And joining me is our Lambourne correspondent, Liam Head. If you're watching along in the top right, our bottom left needs no introduction, Graham Rodway. And bottom right, Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Let's get straight to it, into Cheltenham. And while we are on a bit of weather watch here, it's Thursday afternoon, sunny outside of my window here in Cheltenham, but we don't exactly know how much rain is coming. At the minute, we're sort of in between good to soft and soft. We're not quite sure what to expect, but it's probably going to be pretty testing conditions out there. But let's look at the big race of the weekend. This is the 220 at Cheltenham, the Paddy Power Gold Cup, where Jaguar, winner at the Cheltenham Festival and a friend of a show, tune winning naps for us in our Cheltenham Festival special. Of course, in March, he's top of the market at 100-30. Il Ridotto, last year's winner at 5-1, along with Vincenzo. Panic Attack at 6-1 for the in-form Skelton team. The Irish Raiders are coming over. The company's great at 10-1, along with Coming Up Easy. Bad at 12-1, along with Holy Joe Smoke. Es Perfecto, 14s. Conyers Hill, 16s, along with Hunter Legend for Venetia Williams. Graham Rodway, let's start with you. Great to have you back on the show. Talk us through the Paddy Power Gold Cup.
Yeah, one of my favourite races of the year, James. This really does get the jump season going proper, doesn't it? The first real big handicap chase of the season. And it's great to see horse like Jaguar running, isn't it? Because he's the sort of horse, like, almost a bit of a throwback to the times when you used to get graded horses turning up here, winning this, and then maybe going on to compete in grade ones later in the season. Exotic Dancer, probably the most famous example of horse who did that, but it used to happen regularly, and he will need to be a grade one horse probably here, because he has got 12 stone, hasn't he, Jaguar? He's got an awful lot of weight, but he's by far the most exciting horse in the race, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he gets on. The issue is that he's quite a short price for Ollie Greenall and Josh Guerrero. They've got a great record at Cheltenham. I'll be looking to take him on just purely on value grounds. I've been all over the place in this race. I was going to back Vincenzo, and then I just thought, God, he's getting short, isn't he? For Sam Thomas, a man who's absolutely flying at the moment, but his Cheltenham record's pretty average, as a trainer anyway. I thought Vincenzo's got short enough too. So I'm going to back Conyers Hill. He's a bit of a bridle horse. Last time he came there travelling like he was going to win easily and found absolutely nothing. But maybe he needed the run, James. It was his first run since April. I watched his previous run at Ferrias and he stayed on quite well over 2 miles. I'm old enough to remember Paul Nolan winning some good races at this meeting years and years ago. Accordion Etoile winning the Greatwood. He knows how to lay one out. And this race, of course, is named in honour of a great Irish trainer, isn't it? Edward O'Grady, the man who trained the last Irish winner of the Paddy Power Gold Cup, Tranquil Sea. I reckon that could go back to Ireland for the first time since. Paul Nolan and Conyers Hill for me, James.
I'm completely in the same camp as you there, Graham. Conyers Hill's the one for me, especially with all this rain on the way. I think soft ground might be the absolute key to this horse. So perhaps the left side of the screen will be cheering home in the Paddy Power. Ed, he's stolen your thunder talking about some of the nostalgia of a Paddy Power Gold Cup. You're going to have to give us something back.
Yeah, well, Graham, remember some of the good horses that have won this race. I'll go a little bit further back because I'm just that little bit older. Bright Highway, $50 more. Half Free won it a couple of years on the trot. Dublin Flyer, what a sight he was with Brendan Powell Sr. in the play. He loved Cheltenham, didn't he? He won this back in the day. And obviously Bradbury Star. So, yeah, early 80s, those, and 90s for Dublin Flyer. But I don't think this year's renewal is actually as good as it's been. Certainly not back then, but not for the recent years either. I don't think it's a particularly great Paddy Power. And I was trying to look to take on Jaguar, but I couldn't find anything. And I just think he's an improving horse. I agree with Graham. This horse could be destined for Grade 1 contests. He won the plate off 139 at the Cheltenham Festival. He's now on 148. He likes soft ground, which is going to be interesting because, as you said, there's plenty of rain due on Friday. The going could just be soft, not even any good in it. And I think you'd probably need a horse that gets his toe in. And Jaguar's got form on those conditions. And he's still learning. He's only had 5 chases. He loves Cheltenham. He's 18 hands. He's one of the biggest horses in training. And I was speaking to a trainer yesterday who just says, you know, horses, as they get older, if they've got a big frame, it takes a little bit of time for them to fill into their frame. And he said, worryingly, Jaguar would just get better and better. And I just think that he's there. He's going to try to win. Edward O'Grady's, you know, he's recognising this race. I'm sure JP McManus would love to win a race in memory of his friend, Edward O'Grady. The only negative I can see is the trainer form. Trainer hasn't been in the greatest form. And, that would put me off. But I just think Jaguar is just head and tails better than most of these in the race. The other horses we're looking at, Panic Attack, even Conyers Hill, they're all... I don't think they would win a normal Paddy Power. And I just think Jaguar's got the class. So I'm going to hope that the stable comes back to form with a bang and Jaguar can take this before going on to graded company.
Yeah, he possibly is a graded horse, but he might need to be a graded horse to win this first time out. Liam, let's introduce you. What's your thinking on the Paddy Power?
Yeah, I don't have the pleasure of going back that far as the two lads, previous winners. But again, it's a cracking race. At the start of the week, I was very much in the camp of bad for Ben Pauling. He's obviously had a great season last year, winning a couple of times at Kempton, and he couldn't really have done any much more if he wanted to on his reappearance when winning back at Kempton the last day. And Ben Pauling's in great form. He had a good couple of winners at Bangor yesterday as well. The only, downside to bad would be the ground. Obviously, we don't know what the state of play will be come Saturday. I know that Friday, as we're recording on Thursday, Friday is supposed to be the heaviest day in terms of rain. So we could very much get testing grounds in the race. So that would be my only concern. With that in mind, I do fancy... looking for a bit of value elsewhere. I think when it comes to soft ground and at this time of year, I think Venetia Williams' horse is very much one to keep an eye on. I think Hunter Legend is a cracking each way value around 14-1. We know Venetia Williams obviously does really well with these horses in these conditions, and Hunter Legend has won 5 of his 11 starts over fences. I think finished 3rd on 3 other occasions. And all 5 of his wins have come in soft or heavy conditions. So I think he's one to look at for a bigger price.
Okay. And just before we move on, Ed, it's the big one of big betting races of the season. You must have an offer up your sleeve for us.
Yeah, we've got 2 offers. We've got money back 2nd or 3rd, obviously, as you said, competitive handicap. Or you can also choose the extra place option. There's plenty of runners and plenty of big prices. There'll be 1 or 2, I think, that'll be fancied each way. So, yeah, money back 2nd or 3rd and also extra place available.
Lovely, because it still seems quite the puzzle, doesn't it? Hopefully, this one will be even more straightforward to solve. This is the second race we'll be looking at in detail. This is the 2:55 at Cheltenham on Saturday, the From the Horse's Mouth podcast handicap hurdle, where it is all about the Skeltons once again. Story of the season so far, isn't it? Supremely West, 15-8 favourite. He's been popular in the market for this race. Long draw at 4-1 for Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy. Keek Joe for 11-2. This horse was given a good word by Philip Hobbs when I did his stable tour out next week. So one to potentially watch. Gal Road at 7-1. We know all about him. London Office Caffin at 17-2. Prince Zeltar at 10s. Let's come straight back to you, Liam. What do you like?
I think Gala Road is the one that I take out of this race. Needs no introduction at Cheltenham. I mean, this is going to be his 12th run at the track for Nigel and Willie Twiston Davis. He's going to absolutely relish conditions. You know, whether they'll be sort of you know, soft or heavy, or you know, even a good to soft. It depends on what we get. Really impressive winner on trials day last season, winning the Group 2 Cleve hurdle on soft ground. And he also won on good to soft, and he's won at on heavy at Newbury as well. So I think any bottomless ground could prove to be a huge advantage for him. He's obviously second in the race last year. He's only £3 higher, and he's running off the same mark of his last winning performance. So I think course form is going to be huge. And I think given their track record, I think he can be one that can go well.
Gal Road at 7-1. Graham?
If it were good ground, I'd be all over long draw to reverse the places with Supremely West, when they finished behind Marchantou, didn't they, last time at the track. I thought long draw shaped like he needed to run that day. The problem is that all of his form is on decent going, and we think there's going to be plenty of cut in it. So at a bigger price, I'm going to back one that was behind both of them, behind Marchantou last time, and that is Patriotic. He's trained by Evan Williams. He's got quite a good record in handicap hurdles around Cheltenham, does Evan Williams. And this horse will definitely go through the ground. It's by a German-bred sire, who I've never heard of, Baffaron, but those German-breds always go through testing ground. And Patriotic's a winner on heavy ground at Fosse Lass. It don't get much deeper than it does there. So provided the rain comes, I reckon Patriotic could take quite a big step forward from that seasonal reappearance behind the top two in the market here. And he's what? Much bigger price than Supremely West. He's 20-odd to 1, I think.
Well, I'm afraid 20-to-1 is gone. I see here on my screen, you bet now 18-to-1. So perhaps, Graham, people have been reading your notes. They are all in Patriotic for the Patriotic.
Can't trust those Unibet traders. Can't trust them. They get in there before you can get a price.
Very good. Ed, is it your money that's been leading to this charge? Have your whispers perhaps been leading to this change in Patriotic?
No, not at all. I'm not there for Patriotic, I'm afraid. But I am there for Kiki Joe. I really like this horse in this race. I completely agree with Graham about long draw. I just don't know why. I wouldn't be surprised they pull him out, because he's got on record as saying he doesn't like soft ground. And I remember the last podcast, I thought they'd put him away for the spring for the better ground. And the Potemps is the target, I think, having read in the Racing Post from Ollie Murphy. That's what they're going to plan to do. He missed the race by one last year, didn't he, with the balloting out. But I really fancy Kiki Joe. I mean, Philip Hobbs, when he was training on his own, has a superb or a very good record at this meeting at Cheltenham. He targets this meeting in years gone by. And the horse ran really well last time out at Aintree, finished fourth. Was actually put up a pound by the handicapper for finishing fourth. Ran on well that day when he's under pressure. Never likely to win in the home straight, but he did keep on. And that was off the 219-day off the track. So I think there's lots to go for with Kiki Joe. He's better on softer ground, which he'll get. He'll be better for the recent run. His stable form is very good at the moment, Hobbs and White. And as I said, the stable have got a very good record in the November meeting at Cheltenham. And he's relatively lightly raced. He's only had six races. So, yeah, I'm expecting a big run from Kiki Joe. And I'm expecting a big day for the Hobbs and White team on Saturday. Incidentally, we're going top price every horse in this race from 11 a.m. on Saturday. So it's industry best price from 11 a.m. every single horse in this race with Unibet.
Perfect. Thanks, Ed. And I'm with you as well on that selection. So we'll wait and see who wins that 255. Right, we're going to summarise all the other races at Cheltenham into one. Two more races will appear on live on ITV. That's the 145, the Paddy Power Arkell Challenge Trophy Trial. Always a good informative race for the second part of the season. The Henry VIII in particular is the major stepping stone towards it. And the 330 at Cheltenham, the Paddy Power Intermediate Handicap Hurdle. Let's kick off with you, Graham. You've got those two races and the rest of the Cheltenham card as well. What have you got for us?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mental price, isn't it? This July flower thing in the Arkell. I mean, Arkell Trophy Trial. I could be wrong, but I'd thought that the British runners were a lot more exciting than I know they've all got to give away, haven't they? You know, Burdett Road is second in a champion hurdle, weren't he? I know that, all right, albeit fortunate, but he's a class act. And so Brentford Oaks was a really good hurdler. If either of those take the chase, and could be interesting. So, yeah, I'll be taking on the Fab. I don't know what's going to win the race. The 3:30 at Cheltenham's the race that I really want to have a bet in. I think that Holloway Queen is an absolutely mental price. I don't understand why she isn't close to favourite, and she's, well, double figure odds. The form of her fourth at Sandown last season behind Hollygrove Char Char, when she was giving everything weight and went off 6-5 favourite to beat them all, is really, really good. I mean, Hollygrove Char Char made a promising chasing debut the other day. The runner-up, Lattle Du Moss, went on to finish second in a Grade 1 mare's race at Fairy House next time out. And the third, Blue Lass, has also run really well since. She won a mare's handicap hurdle at Uttoxeter next time. And Holloway Queen giving them all £5. And she was hot favourite to beat them all. I just don't think she showed her form that day. I think that she's much better than she was able to show that day. Nicky Henderson said when he first got her, he didn't think she was any good. He said she showed him absolutely nothing on the gallops, but it soon became quite apparent that she was pretty good. And then the wheels fell off towards the end of the season. So 225 days off she's been. I reckon that that Nicky Henderson will have this Holloway Queen back. All of her form is on soft and heavy ground. So the more rain that comes, the better for her. I can't believe she's not favourite. Holloway Queen, one of the bets of the day, 3:30 at Cheltenham.
And Graham, those Unibet traders are listening in because 11-1, then 10-1, now 9-1, but still a ridiculous price.
Can't beat these fellas, can you?
Certainly can't. Liam touched on a Lambourne horse. There's not loads of them as in the races we've discussed so far. Would Holloway Queen be on your shortlist? Who else is taking right at Cheltenham?
Yeah, I think Graham was saying, I think she has got the potential to be pretty smart based on what she's shown last season. I remember that race that she was up against Hollygrove Cha-Cha, and there was not much that could separate the two of them. So I think she will go well in that race. I do also want to keep tabs on Catboy for Ollie Murphy. Won really well on soft ground at Perth last time, and I think he's only around 8-1, so it's pretty good value. And I think race fitness certainly at this meeting will be an advantage to some of those chances. So I think he could certainly run a big race, obviously, for the team of Ollie Murphy and Sean Bowen, who just seem to sort of team up for wins after wins. In the 145, the Arkell trial, I do, obviously it's a very, very sort of low turnout, but I do like July Flower. I think she, Henry de Bromhead, he doesn't really send runners just for to make up the numbers at Cheltenham. He had four winners at the track last season. And she couldn't have been any more impressive on her chasing debut at Limerick. Again, that came on pretty testing conditions underfoot. She was 11 lengths clear of the second that day at Limerick. And she ran in two grade ones over hurdles last season. So she's clearly well thought of. And I think she obviously receives the mayor's allowance of some of her rivals too. So I think she can go well for favourite backers in the 145.
Okay, a difference of opinion in that Arkell trial, Liam, is with July Flower and also goes Catboy in the 3:30. Ed, we'll bring in you those two races. Rest of Cheltenham, what's caught your eye?
Right, let's start at the beginning. 12:35 first race. Really decent trial this for the actual triumph. If you look back in history over the years, plenty of horses that have won this have run really well in the triumph. Defi Desoy won it in 2:16 and won the triumph himself. Apple Shakira was placed. So was All Mankind and East India Dot last year. All won this and then ended up being placed in the triumph hurdle itself. So it's a really good race. The last two runnings have been won by Burdette Road and East India Dot, who heralded from James Owen stable and obviously with the Gredley colours. And they've got Hallelujah You in this as well as another one. But Hallelujah You hasn't raced yet over hurdles, but had a higher rating on the flat than the previous two winners of the race from the James Owen stable. I think he reached 102 on the flat. So we're taking on trust that he can jump, but he must have a decent chance. We're knowing the stable do love to run a horse in this race. And I notice he's 25-1 for the actual triumph. Now, if a horse does win this, it invariably is first or second favourite for the triumph. Since 2016, five of them that have made it to the triumph hurdle have actually been favourite or second favourite. So I'm going to hope that Hallelujah You wins and maybe have an interest at 25-1 for the Triumph Hurdle. The 145, again, another trial for the festival, the Paddy Power Arkle trial. Burdette Rhodes, one of the last two November festivals at Cheltenham, and he's chasing today, having run over hurdles in October. I looked at his sire, because I don't remember him sire being a particularly good chase. He's only had four horses that have ever gone over fences, and two of them have won. But second in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. But I must admit, I can't understand the price of July Flower. Shouldn't be odds on. Fifth in the mayor's final the mayor's hurdle behind Lossy Mouth. But looks a stayer to me. So I'm surprised they're going over the 2 mile route. So I'm going to be with Be Aware, who was placed in the Greatwood Hurdle, comes from the Skelton stable and has been subject to a bit of support. So it's going to be Aware for me. I think there's negatives for both Burdette Road and certainly for July Flower, who looks ridiculously priced at 4-5. And then finally, the intermediate handicap hurdle at 3:30 really liked the chance of the Friendship, who looked like he was coming to win the silver trophy at Chepstow, but fell and then made amends at the last Cheltenham meeting of a rating of 1.28 up to 1.36. I've spoken to some guys that spoke to the connections, and I was worried about the soft ground, but apparently Ben Jones got off and said he thinks he liked the soft ground now. They were kind of worried when he won at soft at Tottenham. I think Friendship still got plenty in the locker. So Friendship will be a really strong selection in the handicap hurdle at 3:30.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Ed. Let's move on to the rest of Cheltenham. Of course, some cracking days racing on Friday and Sunday. And it's Sunday where we're going to start, because it is the Unibet Greatwood Hurdle, a top quality handicap, one of the highlights of the season. And we're still on entries as we record on Thursday afternoon, but we've got some early anti-post betting. It might all change by the time you've looked at this. We know what Cheltenham betting is all like, but no surprise to know that the Skeltons are top of the betting with Mirabad at 5-1, first run for the yard. Celtic Dino and Alexei at 6-1, 8-1 Serious Challenge. Gibbs Island at 10s, Iberico Lord at 12s, along with Castle Carrick. Helmvine at 14s, along with La Lupa. Knickerbocker Glory, also for the Skeltons at 16, along with Bowens on Fire. It might all change by the time you've tuned in, but let's just talk about this race. Great, Ed, should I say, one of your flagship races. Talk us through what the market's been like, because it's always such a puzzle in the betting.
It is. It's a race we like to price up. Obviously, we've sponsored it. This will be the ninth time that we've sponsored this race, going back to Elgin in 2017. It's a cracking race. It used to be a race run for potential horses that could maybe progress from handicappers into graded winners. Celtic Shot won the very first one in 1987, and Rooster Booster won it as well. Old Guard won it for £7, claiming Harry Cobden in 2015. It was only his fifth winner. He's had over 1,000 now. So some good memories and some good horses. The market's been quite difficult, though, because of the ground. I mean, there's been a lot of money for the likes of Celtic Dino and Alexei, but I think they both prefer, well, certainly Celtic Dino prefers a faster surface. I doubt whether he'll actually be entered if the going is as it's promising to be. So I had a quick look at Serious Challenge from Fergal O'Brien, who ran two in it last year and came third and fourth with Dysart, Enos and Tin Tin Tin. His horses are in great form. He had a double yesterday at Upper Air. I think they're just coming around. And Jonathan Burt, one of my favourite jockeys on board. So around about 8-10-1, I thought Serious Challenge. He's been given a run. He's nicely handicapped on 10 stone 11, just rated 127. Thought it was a decent option in what is always a competitive race. Iberica Lord is there. He won it 2 years ago. First win of the race for Nicky Henderson, and he definitely goes, I'm told. So Iberica Lord will be hoping to win two Unibet Greatwoods. But I think Serious Challenge might be well supported, especially as he goes on soft ground.
8-1, Serious Challenge in the anti-post market. Graham, talk us through your thinking on the Greatwood.
I agree with Ed. I think the Serious Challenge is the bet. I think the race that he was fourth in at Sandown is traditionally quite a strong race every year. This year it was won by Give It To Me OJ, who's already won at the October meeting at Cheltenham. The third, Fazol, has won since too. I think that form was good. And last time at Aintree, wasn't beaten that far, Serious Challenge, but it looked like a little bit of a pipe opener, I thought, for this race. Ed's already mentioned that Fergal O'Brien targeted last year with two horses. And maybe this will be his year when he gets lucky, because the ground is going to come right for Serious Challenge. He's a heavy ground winner, and we're going to know that he goes through the conditions. So I'm quite strong on Serious Challenge with Ed here.
A big team. And now, Liam, I think we're in the same camp. We're taking on the bottom half of the screen, because I'm a Gibbs Island fan. I feel he's just an improving horse, and I think he'll handle conditions. And you're on the same team as well, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think, as you said, an improving performer. He's 3 from 5 over hurdles for Tom Lacey. And obviously, they think he's got that raw ability. He was sort of thrown into two grade ones after winning his first two starts when joining from France. He didn't do, you know, an awful lot in the Triumph Hurdle or at Aintree, but I thought he was very striking on his reappearance at Chepstow last month. He seems to sort of relish any condition, really, and I think he can go well for, you know, in such a wide open race.
Yep, so 2 shouts for Gibbs Island, 2 shouts for Serious Challenge. Right, we've got so much more good racing to go through, but I'm going to really put you in a difficult position here, lads. We're going to look at all of Friday, all of Sunday. I want just one horse that you're looking out for across the weekend. And we'll start with you, Graham. What has caught your eye?
The Schlur Chase is the best race, one of the best races of the weekend, I think. And the only worry I've got here is, are we going to get a bit of a, you know, Hendersonism with John Bond? Oh, the ground's a little bit too heavy for him to start off first time up. But surely, you know, if John Bond runs, then he's got to the point where he's getting to the he's a backable price, if you know what I mean. There are lots being said about his record at Cheltenham, not least by myself, but it's still not bad, is it? He still runs well when he runs there. He's just, you know, I mean, he keeps making the odd mistake and then running on and finishing second. If he can cut out the mistakes, he's just far better than this lot, isn't he? The question is he going to be allowed to take his chance first time up after wind surgery if the ground is really testing? If he is, you know, I think that earlier in the week he was 1 to 3 or something, and now you can get nearly evens on him. I think that it's buying money personally. If he doesn't run, I'll be dead against Lord de Sud, because I don't fancy Lord de Sud at all. I don't think he's that good. I think that he was very well placed by Skeltons last year to pick up the races that he did. And I think that Liberty Hunter will be very difficult to beat in John Bond's absence if the ground is really testing, because Liberty Hunter loves Cheltenham and goes through soft ground really well. So I'm really looking forward to the race. I reckon it's odds on that we get a bit of Henderson. Oh, no, there's no chance we can run him on that ground. But let's hope not.
It was a wonderful impression, Graham. I have to say, I look forward to the rest of this with Constitution Hill and such. Liam's laughing along as well. Before we go on to your one horse from Friday and Saturday, Liam, we've obviously touched on a bit of John Bond, will he, won't he? You're our man in Lambourne. If anybody's going to know, Liam, it's you.
Yeah, I think I know that in previous years, obviously the Schlur was on the Sunday of this meeting. So it's obviously been recently changed to the Friday. I think if the rain does come in, I think we obviously don't know how much, you know, we're going to get in Cheltenham. We don't know when it's going to come, but I think I'd probably say we're more in the camp of John Bond running than not running. I think he's definitely ready for a run. Certainly, that's the feeling I've been getting from Henderson and the camp. Obviously, Paddy Murphy rides him out every day at Seven Barrows, and you know that they're all really, really happy with how he's, you know, how he's been over the summer. Obviously, I know people keep saying that, you know, he doesn't act around Cheltenham. He doesn't. But he's going for an unprecedented third win in the Schlur. So he clearly does operate at Cheltenham. And listen, he's not won. 5 of his 23 starts, he's won 18 of them, but all those 5 performances when he's not won, he's finished second. So there's every chance that he can certainly make that 19 career wins tomorrow, on Friday. Really excited. I think it's obviously a wide open race. We don't know how it'll go, but I think John Bonny is the one that they all have to get past it if they want to win. In terms of the rest of the weekend, One of the horses I'm quite excited to see comes on Sunday in the listed race at the 4 o'clock is Black Eddie. Recently been moved yard from Toby Balgan in Lambourne to Mickey Bowen. Having a great season so far. It's been well documented how they've been doing. Obviously, it's towards your neck of the woods there, James. But I spoke to Toby Balgan after this horse won really well at Chepstow in a bumper. And he was really sort of taken aback by him. And naturally, a lot of interest came in for the horse. So he'd gone to a yard in form. And I think this is the perfect next step for him to show what he's all about.
Yeah, I was certainly really impressed with him at Chepstow at Daylim. So I completely agree with you there. He's in the 4 o'clock, the very last race at Cheltenham on Sunday, Lim. So you're holding all our hopes if it all goes if it all goes wrong. That's the 4 o'clock on Sunday, Black Eddie. One race, one horse, should I say. Ed, who's caught your eye?
Sunday, 2:55, the handicap, the premier handicap chase. Given the ground conditions, it is Sunday, so it might dry up a bit further, but I think Beauport has got a very good chance in that. He's an out-and-out stayer, goes well fresh. I think Protectorat is due to run, which will compress the handicap, and Protectorat can't win over 3 miles 3. I mean, but he will basically have the race set up for a horse that's in the handicap, and Beauport is in the handicap, ran about 6-1 at the moment. I thought that was a seriously good bet for a horse that loves heavy ground and would be, you know, he goes well fresh. But I also want to mention John Bond. Nicky Henderson's won this 4 out of 4. I actually forgot what the other horse was. So we've got Sprinter, we've got John Bond, and it was Kid Cassidy back in 2013. But I think he'll run and I think he'll win. And then finally, I just wanted to mention we've got some good races over in Ireland, that not to bet on, but Copac de Bord is running at Navan in the 3:20. Really looking forward to that. Brighter Days Ahead doesn't run. There was going to be a head-to-head between them. But, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how he gets on over fences in the beginner's chase. And then the Fortria, which is named after the Queen Mother Champion Chase winner in the early 60s. Marine Nationale and Captain Guinness, the last two Champion Chase winners, are running against Dinah Blue. So that'll be really interesting as well. So some good class racing, not just here in the UK, but also Ireland. It's a cracking weekend of racing, James. I'm really looking forward to it.
It certainly is. And your traders are going to be busy with those anti-post markets because loads of potential festival movers and shakers. And we've touched on your traders and they've also got onto my horse to watch, Ed. So I'm a bit worried they're studying our notes because Liam's going to hopefully finish the Cheltenham meeting off with a bang. And hopefully I'm going to start it. Walker Dina is mine. Was 7-1 when I was looking at this race this morning, 11-2 now. The market's there for the David Pipe horse. This horse had some really good back form, had a little bit of class about her. She looks quite a classy mare. She goes in the 110 at Cheltenham on Friday. She's got a jockey on, Rian Kakor, and I think I'm pronouncing that name correct. She had a winner the other day at Foss Last, so she's in a good bit of form, this horse, right at the bottom of her weights. She's shown glimpses of quality, including on her first start of the season last year. Hopefully she repeats it and does the job. 7-1 into 11-2. So that's all of Cheltenham wrapped up. We've still got two good races from Weatherby to look forward to after this short break. Okay, we turn from Cheltenham to Weatherby. Two races, as I touched on before the break, to look forward to. This is the 3:10 at Weatherby, the Ball Sports Best Odds Guarantee Introductory Hurdle, and the 3:43 at Weatherby, the Ball Sports Home of the Early Payout Handicap Chase. These races have thrown up some good horses in the past. Graham's not getting involved. He's not got any fancies at Weatherby, but Liam, you're going to help us out. And it's one for one of your Lambourne friends, I believe.
Yeah, it is, James. Jamie Snowden, rather. Jamie Osborne is very much focusing on the flat in Maidan at the minute. Jamie Snowden, yeah, he's it's been well documented on his form and his start to the season. Obviously, he's had a great summer and he's taking that into the winter. Fresh perspective, favourite for this race. I think he's got the makings to be a top-class hurdler. He was a bumper winner at Uttoxeter last season, and he's taken that certainly to transferring over to the hurdles. He was an eighth length winner on hurdling debut at Fontwell last month, And I've been speaking to Snowden. I spoke to him for our stable tour, and he really likes this horse. So much potential, and you know, with a full career ahead of him, the way he won at Fontwell was really impressive. And I think he will take all the beating in this one.
Yeah, and of course, we should mention as well, Jamieson had a big winner last weekend with Colonel Harry, tipped up by Keith Marrows at 16-1, I believe, on the show. Huge selection. I think you might have had it as well, Ed, did you?
No, but I admire the 16-1 winner. I wasn't there last
week. Yes, we certainly had a good discussion about Colonel. Anyway, 16-1 winner, that's what the postcast does. That's why you should join us every week. That's the free 10 sorted at Weatherby, Ed. What's going to win the free 43?
Yeah, I've just talked about 310. We're going super boost on that race, one of our offers. And I think, I think it's really interesting, Chris, perspective, because he won that race at Fontwell despite not jumping well at all. If he improves his jumping, he could be a really decent hurdler. So I completely agree with Liam there on that particular horse for the Weatherby race at 10 past three. The handicap chase, well, it's all about Cheltenham this weekend, but I think it's all about Heltenham. Weatherby, because I really like this horse. He's always disappointed, isn't he? He's one of those cliff horses. Well, he is for me anyway. I keep following him, and he travels well in his race, and then he hits a fence, and that seems to put him off his stride and puts him off from winning. But one of these days, Heltenham is going to make amends, and I know he has won in the past, and that's when his jumping is slicker than usual. And I just think this race may be run to suit. Charlie Todd has been riding quite a lot for Dan Skelton in the last few months, takes the ride. Good jockey, Charlie Todd. And I think Heltenham's got everything in his favour to run a big race at Weatherby on Saturday.
And that's in the 3:43. Right, we will have our best bets across the ITV action after this word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, it's that time of the show where we share our best bet for the weekend. And let's start with you this time, Graham. What's yours?
3:30 at Cheltenham on Saturday, Holloway Queen. I think she should be favourite, James.
Certainly is. Liam?
I like Gower Road for the Twist and Davises in the 2:55 at Cheltenham. This will be his 12th run at the track, and he should relish these testing conditions, so I think he can go well.
It's the Unibet Greatwood, so I'm going to have to throw one in for that. I'm going to go Gibbs Island in the 3:30 at Cheltenham on Sunday. And Ed, in the big race, surely, what have you got for us?
Yeah, 2:20, the big race on Saturday at Cheltenham. Love the race. I just think Jaguar's different class. He's got a big weight to carry on seasonal debut, but I don't think the race is as deep as it usually is. And I'm expecting Jaguar to make giant headway this year as a chaser and go on to much better things. So for a rating of 1.48, I'm with Jaguar.
Perfect. Thank you very much to our panellists. That's Liam Head, Graham Rodway and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Thanks again to you for following us along and best of luck with all your selections on the weekend. If you're a fan of the show, do not forget you can rate, review and subscribe. If you're on that 16-1 winner, well, you certainly most have to indeed. Do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday because the good top quality jumping action continues. We've got our first domestic grade one of the season, the Betfair Chase. We'll be previewing that as well as a top class card at Kempton. But for now, do enjoy a fabulous weekend at Cheltenham. Best of luck with all your selections. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.